Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all the listeners out there. You're listening to Tribe Family Channel, formerly known as Gumball for the Soul Radio. You can find us online at tribefamilychannel.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tribe Family US. My name is Joey Pinkney, host of Voices of Wisdom, and I have a very special announcement. Tribe Family Channel is growing, and we have a new family member. She's internationally known as the Queen of Funk, none other than Patrice Chocolate Banks. How you doing, Chocolate?
Yay! That was wonderful, Shoes. I'm blessed. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing real good. I'm glad to be online with you, and I'm glad to be able to be the one to introduce the world to you and Tribe Family Channel coming together. Tribe Family Channel is proud. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm having a little trouble hearing. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I just want to say that I am excited to see what this new venture is going to be all about, and I couldn't think of a better place to be than Tribe Family Channel because you guys have been very welcoming. I want to shout out Beverly, very welcoming, and so I'm just excited to get it started, bring some funk to the tribe.
We all can use a little funk, right?
Yeah, we all can for sure.
All right, once again, like I said earlier, Tribe Family Channel is proud and very excited to welcome Patrice Chocolate Banks as a host. Her show is called Everybody is a Star and will air on Friday night starting on September 13, 2013. Before we get into the funk of it all, Tribe Family Channel and Gumball for the Soul International wants to say happy, happy birthday to the show's producer, Bruce George. His birthday is tomorrow, Saturday, August 31st, 2013. And, you know, we wish you many, many more, Bruce. All right.
Happy birthday, Bruce.
Let's get into the funk of it all. Let's see what we got. I wanted to start off by saying this, and I think I told you this when we got on the phone call a couple of days ago. My favorite food group is chocolate. So I have to ask.
Yeah, you did.
How'd you get the name? How'd you get the name chocolate?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you for having good taste, number one. The way I got the name Chocolate was when I was with Grand Central Station. When we were putting the group together, we decided that everybody in the group needed a nickname. So we worked on that diligently. So you had Herschel Happiness Kennedy. You had Willie Wild. You had David Dynamite.
Right.
Robert Sam. He was called Butch. Larry was the Funk Father. So that left me. My name was Chocolate, and Larry gave me that name, and I'm not sure why. And I guess it just felt right or something. I don't know, but he gave me that name, Chocolate. But like you, I am also a chocoholic, so that might have a lot to do with it. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with being sweet and brown at the same time.
That's right.
For the listeners go ahead.
No, I'm going to leave it right there. I was getting ready to say something, but this is a family channel. So go ahead.
That's true. I was going to say this. For all the people that are not in the know, how did you become known as the Queen of Funk?
Well, you know what? Actually, that's not a title that I gave myself. Different people call me different things. Some people call me the queen. Some people call me a diva. You know, that word legendary is often attached to. I had to get used to that legendary word.
I
call myself a funkstress because I feel that, you know, there are a lot of queens of funk as far as I'm concerned. There are a lot of divas of funk as far as I'm concerned. So I don't think it can really be limited to one person. So for those who do consider me that, though, I greatly appreciate it. But, you know, I'm one of maybe, but that's about it. But I greatly appreciate it.
Well, one thing is for sure, music is definitely a way of life for you. It's definitely one of your personal cultures. How long have you been in the music industry? Like, if you had to, like, put some, you know, put a timeline on it.
Well, I started singing professionally. I always sang my whole life. And so around town when I was in middle school, high school, I had local groups, so I was singing around town, so I was, you know, locally known. But I got my first professional gig straight out of high school, and then from that, and it was with a group called the Doodletown Pipers, and straight from the Doodletown Pipers, I met Larry Graham through my manager and promoter at the time, Dick Griffey, who later became the founder of Solar Records. He introduced me to Larry Graham. And
what year was this?
I'm not good with years, but
right,
this was in the 70s.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, this was in the 70s. So Graham Central Station became popular in the 70s, like 73, 74. We were reaching our pinnacle at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, well, as most people who are cognizant know, the entertainment industry is like full of ups and downs. It's definitely not something that is for the slight of heart. How were you able to, you know, stay stable in such a rocky environment?
Well, because I really wasn't focusing on the environment per se. I was focusing on the music. I was following my passion and so everything else was kind of like, you know, happening around me. It was kind of surreal for me because when I got in Grand Central Station, when Grand Central Station started, I should say, I was actually, Larry and I were a couple. So I was like in a place before Grand Central Station started, however, Larry and I were a couple, and he was with Sly and the Family Stone, and I was traveling with him on the road with Sly and the Family Stone. So I was just very, as a person who was completely all in as far as funk music goes, you know, the funk movement had just started. It was becoming popular. I knew that I had to be a part of it. So just to break into that genre is such a huge way by being with Larry and traveling with Sly and the Family Stone, then Grand Central Station starting. It was just all, you know, the fun and games and magic, and all I focused on was the music. And that's what the rest of it, because, you know, also at that time, the entertainment business was very male-oriented, especially the funk genre. There weren't very many females, you know, out front. So by me being with Larry, I didn't have to really worry about that because I was being respected, you know. So that eliminated a lot of the down part of it because I wasn't out there fighting, you know, trying to get respect. I was, you know, getting my respect because we were together. But so the good outweighed the bad.
All right. Now, you're as you said earlier, you came in just as that genre of music was growing, and so that definitely makes you one of the funk pioneers. How would you define funk as opposed, you know, what makes it different from other styles of music? Like, what's the defining elements of funk that makes it stand out from something like R&B or country or even disco, which a lot of people say funk has its roots in?
Funk has its roots in disco?
No, I'm saying some people say that funk has its roots in disco. I'm asking you, since you're a funk pioneer, how would you define funk?
Right, I understand. Well, I've never heard funk having its roots in disco. Okay. Funk,
well, how do you define funk?
Okay, here's what funk is to me. Funk is, like, James Brown is the godfather of funk. He's one that, you know, made the pivotal change, you know, by putting the beat on the one. So he's the one that started it, meaning that that the rhythm of the songs changed, the where the beat was, the where you felt it, where you want to dance, where you want to move, it changed from like the regular 2 and 4, which Motown was doing a lot of. So the basic change was in the rhythm. And then after James started it, as far as I'm concerned, now this is Chocolateology here. After James started it, the baton was passed on to Sly. And what Sly actually did, there are a few in between, but I'm going to just get to Sly. And what Sly actually did and why he is so important in funk music was that he added another element. He kind of fused gospel, because he came from a Pentecostal family. So he fused gospel and R&B and pop, really, music all together. And so with this infusion, you had a whole new music now, because when you listen to funk music, if anything on you can move, if you are alive, if blood is flowing through your veins, you cannot help but move. Something has to move. It's kind of primal, the way funk makes you feel. And it's very, you know, being able to move. You can't stand, you cannot sit still. To me, that's what makes funk what it is that you cannot sit still. You have to move. It's very happy. It's very energetic. And it's, you know, it's got that stank on it, that stank meaning that rough edge that comes from gospel, you know, that emotional thing that comes from gospel. So it was just a fusion of a bunch of different genres and emotions that came together that made this magic thing called funk.
Right. And there is a lot of spiritual aspects of music. We were talking about how you were talking about how gospel music was brought in as one of the foundations in terms of the sound and the emotions and stuff like that that's brought into funk. With that spiritual aspect of music that's best known by musicians like yourself, what is your spiritual philosophy on music? Like, how does spirituality and music intersect for you?
Well, I am actually a PK, which is a preacher's kid. Somebody didn't know what that was, and I had to explain it to him. So I'm a PK, so I was brought up in church, in Baptist church, and so around gospel, singing in the choir and all that. So as far as I'm concerned, you can't have – gospel started off. You know, gospel music was the mother of all music, as far as I'm concerned. It all started – of American music, of all American music. That's where it started, with gospel. So the spiritual part of it is that, you know, if you can play music that can make people, that can touch them to their core and change their state of mind, because if somebody is listening to a funk song, it can change. If you're depressed or whatever, don't feel good or whatever, if you hear a good funk song, then you will forget all about that for a minute because you're busy feeling good. So anything that can is positive like that and can make your spirit feel better and want to make you rejoice, you know, and as long as the lyrics are very important to me. So as long as you're not spewing a bunch of negativity, you know, and the message in the songs are positive and about love and about having fun, then I'm fine with it spiritually. I'm fine with it spiritually. It's when the message becomes negative and you know, and dark that I cannot deal with it. But as long as it's all about fun and positivity and then has a beat to it too, it's all good.
All right, and you definitely have a very soulful voice. That's one of the things that you're known for. But another thing that a lot of people attribute to you is the funk box. And what would you say, how would you describe what a funk box is to people that have no clue what the instrument is?
Okay, well, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, the first, if not one of the first, drum machines, and it was called a Rhythm King. And it's just a drum machine, and which makes the sound, a drum machine simulates the sounds of a drum, and it can mm-hmm. be put on automatic, and you can program it, you know, or it can be played manually by with buttons, each button having a different sound of a drum or a percussion instrument. And so I would play the buttons, you know, and like a percussionist, you know, like a percussionist, yeah. And that's what a funk box was. It was me playing because I did not just want to stand up, you know, in front of the band, being the chick singer, you know, playing a tambourine. I wanted to be a part of the music too. So I told Larry that we have to find something for me to play. So this is what we came up with, and so I was able to, you know, be a total part of Grand Central Station.
It's well known that West African music lends a lot of its cadences and some of its rhythms to what American music has become. In terms of you and your drum programming experience over the years and your use of the funk box, where did you find some of your inspirations for some of the rhythms that you've played and that you've created during shows that you've done over the years?
Well, actually, I only played the funk box in Grand Central Station, and what you do is the drummer and the percussionist and the bass player, they all work together. So the drum, percussion, and bass, they sort of work off of one another. So the drums a lot of time will simulate whatever the bass is playing. So it's because it's all about the beat. So that's what you do. You just, and with Larry, it was real easy because he was, as far as I'm concerned, the funkiest bass player, innovator, gifted person of all time, you know, so it would be easy to follow along with whatever rhythm or licks that he was playing. It would be easy just to, you could always get in there and fit in there, and he made it easy because he would be the heart, you know, he would be the heart, and the drum would be the beat, and I would be, you know, in there too with my little percussion, also with the beat. So that part was easy, and it was fun. And you know what? I'm glad, too, that you actually mentioned West Africa, because I wanted to just throw in quickly, this is just a little tidbit, that the actual word funk comes from a West African word.
Oh, really? That's very, very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the word is Lou Fuki, and it has a dash between Lou and Fuki, so it's Lu-Fuki, Lou Fuki. So that's where the word funk derives from.
Okay.
So if you ever hear me say Lou Fuki, then you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about.
The original funk. Yeah, you're talking about the original funk then, right? The motherland funk.
The motherland funk. Absolutely.
Right, now. Speaking of that, I want to ask you a question. I've always wondered when I've seen different spellings of the word funk. I noticed that you use an O, and then I noticed that other people use the letter U. Is there any significance behind that? Like, why do you choose to go with an O as opposed to a U? Like, what's the difference?
Well, the difference to me is like when you're saying the word, you know, F-U-N-K. When you're saying that word, people don't usually say, okay, that word is pronounced funk. You know, that's how it's pronounced. And to me, that's a little corny. So when you
flat.
Put the, yeah, little, you know, a little flat. Okay, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But when you
okay.
put that O on there, when you say it F O N K, that's the way people pronounce it anyway. People say funk. This is funk mm-hmm. music, funk. So funk is spelled F-O-N-K. It is not spelled F-U-N-K. And also, that gives me a chance to introduce briefly, because I see we're running out of time already, myself and a partner of mine, Stozo the Clown is what he's called, a.k.a. R.P.E., we have started a Funkolution. And changing
Funkolution,
okay. That's right. And changing F-U-N-K to F-O-N-K is a very important part of that because, like I said, you know, that's the way it is pronounced. So that's the way it should be spelled as far as I'm concerned. And we are starting We have also developed a funk sign that belongs only to funk. You know that old sign that everybody uses when they throw up? That sign looks like a devil's horns. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's those two fingers. P-Funk uses it a lot.
That's right.
So it has its roots in paganism and Satanism. And so it was first used in rock and roll, and then George started using it with P-Funk. And so I thought that funk needed its own hand sign. You know what I'm saying? That belongs strictly to it, not nobody else. When you see the sign, you know it's the funk sign for sure. So that's how we're starting our Funkolution, with a new funk sign and a new spelling of the word funk.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, we could talk about your history for hours and hours. Let's get into what your show is about. What are some of your goals with doing this show, and how are you planning on using this show to, you know, continue the Funkolution?
Okay, well, my show is called Everybody is a Star. I have done it before, a couple of years ago I did it. And what I like to do is focus on not only the person that is up front in the bands or whatever, because the public mostly knows quite a bit about the bio of who the actual quote-unquote star is, but the supporting cast is often lost. The band members, the background singers, the songwriters, you know what I'm saying? It takes a whole crew to make a star, really, make one person. And so that's what I like to focus on. I like to focus on the supporting cast, if you will. And so it's like teaching. So it's like the history of, you know, it's the history of music. I like to tell people stuff that they don't know, you know, and that's hard to do in these days and times, because everybody thinks they know everything. But so I dig deep, and I come up with people who have been an integral part of black music, and I interview them, and I play, if they have any music projects, I play their music and just teach. That's what I'm trying to do, teach. And I also have books, 3 books, and that's what I'm also doing in my books, just trying to be, make sure that I'm teaching correctly facts about black music, funk music in particular.
Okay, yeah, so this is going to be a very, very special event going forward in the future. If you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to none other than Patrice Chocolate Banks. She has her own Funkolution going on. We're about to revolutionize funk to a whole other level with this show. It's called Everybody is a Star. It's going to be premiering Friday, September 13th, 2013, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everybody needs to tune in. Is there anything else? Are there some other aspects to this show that we haven't covered, or aspects of your career that you would like to cover that we hadn't so far in the show?
Well, you know what? Yes, it's a ton of them, but we only have like 2 or 3 minutes, so I guess you and I have to have another interview.
We can fill up this 2 or 3 minutes. Whatever we haven't covered yet, though, you know. So
at it. Like I mentioned, I do have 3 books out. The first one is A Chocolate State of Mind. The second one is Deja Vu, Memoirs of a Funk Diva. The third one is Secret Sacrifice. In the second and third books, Deja Vu, my second book, is about my memoirs and about my career with Grand Central Station. And also I share my personal life as far as domestic abuse goes, because with Larry, he was a domestic abuser. I went through domestic violence, so I share that. And then my third book, Secret Sacrifice, I'm sharing my experience with, I was molested as a child for a number of years. So I am an advocate, you know, against domestic violence, any kind of abuse. And so that's another platform that I'm pushing, you know, because love is not supposed to hurt in any kind of way whatsoever. So I'm doing that also. And I have an EP out with 4 songs on it. And one of the songs is called Black Eyes, which talks about domestic violence. And I think we're going to play my single Straight Funk. We're going to hear that as the show goes out. And that's, oh, and you can find every all things chocolate at PatriceChocolateBanks.com, PatriceChocolateBanks.com.
Sounds good. What, do you have any, like, Twitter account, Facebook account you want to give a shout-out to also?
Yeah, Twitter. I think it's at Chocolate Banks, the Twitter is, and then the Facebook, yeah, I'm on Facebook, and then Funkalution also, I also have a Funkalution Facebook page.
Okay, so I guess we're going to roll the rest of this song, the rest of this show out with one of your songs. You said Straight Funk is going to be the song we're going to listen to?
Straight Funk, no chaser.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get that rolling.
Well, thank you, Joey, and it's been wonderful. And may the funk be with you. And once again, I'm thrilled to be here.
It's an honor and a pleasure to have you be a part of the Tribe Family Channel.
Thanks.
Give me straight phone.